This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
J.J. Redick coached very immaturely in this series. He was still seething and upset about the previous games to the point where Reggie Miller said on the broadcast last night he had to try to calm him down in the pregame meeting because JJ was acting, you know, frankly, childishly.
Great clip from Wendy right there. That was Brian Windhorst talking about JJ Redick and going right into Voodoo Child from Jimmy. Well done right there, Landini. The biggest local story for us, the Caps winning last night. Caps at five. I told you all about it. It's too early, B. I'm not making my official pick, but I'm feeling Caps in six against the Canes, but it's too early.
All right. You know, I always ask for earlier. Give me earlier.
Yeah. But I thought the T-Wolves were going to beat the Lakers. I wagered on the T-Wolves a few different times. I enjoyed watching this because the sycophantic model of the NBA is such that fans and media and analysts and, like, Instagram and all the stuff was like, oh, my God, LeBron and Luka, they're going to dominate.
No, they're not.
Anthony Edwards said, bleep you, dude.
Hey, the one person that's undefeated in this world is Father Time. Okay? And, yes, LeBron does a lot of magnificent things still at 40 years old. But LeBron can't play a full game. Okay?
And that's what Redick did.
And, yes, LeBron, what he does, he chases and get that one block every other game or something like that. People go, wow. But you know what? He's a minus when it comes down to the person he's checking. They cook him at all times. Luka, we can all score on Luka.
Yo, Jeff might be a better defender.
We can all score on him. He's not going to play defense whatsoever. And if you watch him, the dude is completely out of shape. When he runs down the damn court, he looks like he's laboring. You know?
So, you said it yesterday, and I thought it was the best description. The day after you do a big leg workout and you haven't worked out your legs and you can barely move, like that's
how he
looks. That's Luka getting back on
beat. And listen, people can sit up here and tell me, man, but he's great offensive. You know what? All my life, the people that I love in basketball, they play both ways, okay? They are outstanding when they go out there and do their thing. They're not just a one-way player. So when we compare Michael to all these guys today, Michael will – put 30 on you and shut your ass down. Okay? That happened. LeBron now, he likes to cherry pick and watch when he'll go after a guy when somebody else checks him and he come from behind and get him. But he has done that his career. And right now, he don't have the stamina to go out there and carry a team anymore. And, you know, everybody look at the game last night, but that game prior, when Anthony Edwards finally started getting in his face and putting his hands on him, that day is when I think LeBron probably realized these young dudes more athletic than me and they're not afraid of me anymore.
Definitely.
He had that way of trying to intimidate guys. These guys don't give a damn anymore.
Well, and I don't. So if you heard the Windhorst clip at the beginning there that we played, he talked about J.J. Redick being immature as a coach.
Well, he is.
When you hire a dude that's never coached before on any level.
Who asked for him to be hired?
LeBron.
Okay.
Because they had a podcast together.
Okay.
And then, dude, he has older players that he left in the entire game. And people are surprised that it didn't end well. It's just.
Well, you came in after the game prior, game four, and you said they all played in the last quarter, most of the third and the last quarter. They did not miss a second.
Right.
And you say they're going to be cooked the next game. You're right. You know, the thing about them now, the league, they have all these ways of, like, letting guys, you know, have rest days and this, that, and the other. They have to have them. LeBron has to have a rest day. Luka is in such bad shape, he needs to have a rest. Well, Luka take rest games, rest halves. He doesn't play the whole game, man. He plays offense, and he even get tired just doing that.
I got some LeBron stats, and I know there are LeBron fans. LeBron's an all-time great player.
Oh, yeah, he's a great player, but you know what? At this time, he can be got on a consistent basis.
I have never been, nor will I ever, ever condone any sort of LeBron over MJ stuff. That's asinine.
That ain't happening. That's stupid.
Complete stupidity. But LeBron's a great player. He's on. If there's a Mount Rushmore of hoops, he's on it. Like he's an all-time great player. But let's be real about where things are lately. LeBron has been eliminated in five games or less in his last three playoff series.
Mm-hmm.
And the blame goes on everyone else. And maybe deservedly, but like the celebration when that Luka trade went down over what the Lakers would then become and what the reality is are quite different.
You know what, man? When you're still on the team and you still carry that mindset that I'm the baddest out here, the blame can't be on everybody else. You got to carry some of that blame. Because people just say, well, LeBron's going to make Luka better. Did y'all see him running up and down the court? did Luka change anything else? No, Luka is still out of shape. He's still lazy. He can play offense, but he doesn't do enough when the cameras aren't on to get himself in the position or the shape to go out there and take care of his job. If you're a professional athlete, as I always say, your body is your tool. And if you're not in good enough shape to play a whole game, then damn it, you're not working on your tool. If you want a great HVAC system, you come over here to Rue, right?
Damn right.
If you are going to a bad place, you're going to get what you got, what you pay for. So the ultimate thing is Luka, yes, super talented. But he will never, ever be what he is supposed to be because he does not put in enough work.
Now, that could change.
I hope.
Maybe he
okay,
will.
How many years has he been in the league now?
A lot.
Okay, and has he done it yet?
No.
So it's kind of hard to break to change what you really are. Inside of him, he knows, I can shoot it from anywhere. I might score 30, but guess what? If he's checking somebody, they're going to score 35.
Right. He's 26. I think he's probably been in the NBA for four or five seasons, is my guess. Probably five. You don't want to – Luka's a really, really special player, but his plus-minus last – dude, B, he went for 28-7-9 last night. That is a full stat sheet.
Yeah.
And to illustrate how bad the defense is, his plus-minus was minus 5.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
28-7-9, and he's a minus 5.
So just – and I know it's more complicated than this. In essence, he scored 28, somebody scored 33. You know what I mean? Or the people that he was checking scored 33 at the time that he was on them.
Right.
So, listen, man. Yes, when you look at a one-sided aspect of basketball, you can be fooled. But if you look at double side, you won't be. You know, when a guy would go out there and play a whole game sick,
yeah,
playing offense and defense, and he didn't take games off. Didn't find excuses not to play. Find excuses to play. It just lets you know a different makeup.
Dude,
different makeup.
This is Luka's eighth season in the NBA.
Okay.
That's
so
crazy.
He going to all of a sudden wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to go out here and work hard than I ever worked before. He got a lot of cheddar now. He got a lot of people loving on him now. He got a lot of people telling him how great he is. It's hard to change who the hell you are at that point.
It's
he might end up being one of the greatest scorers ever in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
But then you got to look at the plus minus.
Think about the celebratory reaction when L.A. traded for Luka Doncic, including from LeBron James. And then listen to this question and answer from LeBron last night after the Lakers were eliminated in five.
Okay.
This joint didn't even go six. Here's LeBron.
LeBron, basically from mid-January on, right when AD got injured, you guys started playing a lot of centerless basketball, and that required a lot from you and Doe and Rui and then Vando once he got back. Just from a physical, like, taxing standpoint, how tough was that for the last 3.5 months to play that style, and do you feel like that caught up at all in this series?
No comment. I never say that because my guy AD said what he needed and then he was gone the following week, so I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters.
What is that, dude?
Wasn't he the guy that was bashing everyone that was talking trash about Luka? So, in other words, he loved the move when it happened, and now it's somebody else's fault.
Yes, see, that's why I wanted to play that.
The whole thing is he has been very good at changing up. As I say to me, if most people in society don't really listen to what people say and do. So when you say something one day and you come back the next day and you completely change up, they don't even know that you just changed up because they don't pay attention. And LeBron has mastered that, okay? Dude, you still on the court. You on the court with AD and y'all were losing. So LeBron, what AD said he wanted.
LeBron's quotes from the trade, when the trade happened, it still pretty much didn't seem real to me until I saw Luka today and I saw a clip of AD at the Dallas shoot-around. That's when it finally hit me like, oh, bleep, this is real. If I had concerns about it, I'd wave my no-trade clause and get up out of here. I'm here right now. I'm committed to the Lakers organization. As the leader of the team, as one of the captains of the team, it's my job to make it as seamless as possible. Juxtapose that with what he just said. Oh, if I let my concerns known, I'll be traded. You have a no-trade clause. Like, just stop being performative,
so,
dude.
Here you go. I would have waived my no-trade clause and been out of here. Which means he about to waive his no-trade clause to go find another superstar to try to ride his coke tail and try to get where he wants to go again.
Who knows what's going to happen? I didn't mind seeing it last night. I am not, Doc, we should talk to Doc about the Lakers a little bit if we can carve some time out. We got to talk RFK with Doc.
Doc is real about it, though. Doc is real. He'll tell you when players are selfish and don't play a whole game and do what they're supposed to do. He doesn't like that. I don't care if it got on purple and gold or not.
Yeah,
Doc want tarantulas and bulldogs and wildebeest.
Lumberjacks.
He ain't see them. I guarantee those two dudes didn't give him that in this series.
Good win for the Rockets last night. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, they were whipping butt for a long time, bro.
Kind of felt to me, I don't know if you agree with this, but, you know, you don't have Klay Thompson there anymore, but you still have Steve Kerr, Draymond, and Steph, obviously. And Houston came out so red hot. It was a good night for three TVs. Houston came out so red hot that I kind of think Kerr was like, all right, boys, let's just chill.
Let's get back home.
We'll get them on the next one.
So they're up 3-2 now, right?
Yeah.
So and they got to go back to Golden State, right?
Yeah.
So they'll kill them at that point.
Game six will be at whatever their new arena is that is not as cool as the old arena, but things happen in life. Outside of that, Celtics advanced, Cavs, Pacers, we already know. Thunder are just chilling, getting ready to rip through the Nuggets or the Clippers, whoever wins that series. I do look forward to T-Wolves, I think, Warriors. I think Timberwolves will take them down. NBA playoffs are always fun. They've been fun to watch. And the only thing that stings in the first round of the NBA playoffs is you realize, like, now, once you get to the second and then the conference finals and the finals, those teams are elite, right? That's just watching elite hoop. Watching the NBA playoffs right now, some of these teams are just good or kind of good. Like, the Pistons are fun to watch, but they're not winning a title. Mm-hmm. It just makes you wish that they played hard every night because the sport is so dope, but half the time they're just chilling.
Yep.
Half the time they're Luka on defense. Doc Walker joins us at 11.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.